The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 4th, 2014. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And this show is the steward of strength. This show is the gatekeeper of strength. So today's Tuesday morning. Roger LaPointe is on. He's a regular on the show every week. Roger's president of Atomic Athletic Company. And today we're going to talk about, we're going to be doing a part two, basically. We started a series called From the Neck Down. Today we're going to talk about fingers, wrists, and forearms, how they all connect together. And, Rog, welcome to Motivation Muscle.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Let's get right into it. Fingers, your hands, your wrists, your forearms. What do you want to hit first?
You know, I want to start actually with the fingertips and work our way up. One of the things that I learned about grip strength training, not as an Olympic lifter or working at York or anything like that, but actually from the University of Michigan's former strength coach, Mike Gittleson. The guy is a genius, and he was one of my very first customers with Atomic Athletic, both personally and with the school. Just for those of you who don't know, I did not go to U of M. In fact, I went to their big rival, Michigan State, for my undergrad. So for me to say that this guy was a big influence on me, I really mean it. That's a serious thing. Occasionally, he would allow me to shadow him in the weight room. It was super cool. And one of the things that he focused on was grip strength training. And it's especially with its relationship to football. It is so very important. And in many sports, football being one of them, another might be wrestling, another one, pretty much any martial art. And Mike early on said, Raj, football is a martial art. I was like, what? He said, you're in combat. You're in combat as a contact sport. That means it's a martial art. So you need to think of it much like any other martial art. Now, when you have to grab somebody, you need your fingers. Well, in a lot of these sports, you're going to get broken fingers, sprained fingers, sprained wrists, all that kind of stuff. And the easiest way to fight that is grip strength. But when you start looking at the individual fingers, then you start realizing, oh, wait a minute. Okay. I've got my index finger in a splint. How am I going to do cleans with my index finger in a splint? Well, you're not. It's simply not going to happen. So avoiding a relatively minor injury like that, you know, seriously sprained or broken finger, you'd say, oh, one finger, he's not doing much in the weight room. Well, there's a lot that can be done in the weight room, but you also want to be able to work around an individual finger. Now, one of the things that Mike was big on is the bucket of rice concept. Eric, have you ever done that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's what you do, guys. Get yourself a bucket, you know, same kind of bucket that you might use to wash your car. Fill it full of rice. Then you dive your hands into the bucket and essentially start crushing the rice with your fingers. In and out, in and out. You get flexion and extension. You get closing the gap laterally with your fingers. After a couple minutes of doing that, how do your hands feel, Eric?
Pumped.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah, seriously pumped. And what you're working is, you know, all those ligaments and tendons, and which is mostly what the hands are, but there are muscles there too, of course, that you're not working so much individually when you lift an object. I'm a huge fan of thick bar training. I know you are too, right, Eric?
That's all I use.
Yeah. It's the thick bar work of different diameters is tremendous. Here's a tip, though. Try thin bar work. What I mean by that is there was a old-time strongman. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. The bar owner who is the finger strength guy, Eric.
I'm thinking the only thing I come to mind is like Thomas Inch, but that's not
No,
him.
No, it's not Thomas Inch. It'll come to me. I can't,
okay.
You know. Anyway, he took a silver dollar, drilled a hole through it, and took a cable and attached it to a weight horn. And he would do pinch grip work with his silver dollar.
That's nasty.
Yeah, that's thin grip work right there. You're not going to lift very much weight. That's all right, because that is a very specific type of strength, but you can do it with any finger. So there is sort of the opposite perspective. If you look in the book 72 Consummate Arts, Secrets of the Shaolin Temple, it's out of print, but one of the best books of all time for accessory training for martial artists. And it's something that, you know, the Shaolin Temple actually put together years and years and years ago. And essentially what they do in that book is they took all of the other things that the Shaolin monks do that are not the actual fighting, broke them up into 72 categories. 72 has some sort of magical kind of number in that area of China. But they broke them up into these categories, and I would say easily a dozen of them would qualify as strength training. You've also got swimming. You've got horseback riding. You've got jumping and leaping. But a dozen of them are strength training specific. One of them is rope climbing. And the with these 72 arts, the monks would concentrate on two of those 72 for as much as 3 years and work that one particular art for maybe an hour a day, in addition to their roughly 7 hours of martial arts training and another hour on another of the 72 arts. And then, of course, they're Buddhist monks too, so they have that training. They're, you know, Buddhist religion and philosophy stuff. But the rope climbing section, fascinating concepts where they would get so thin with their thin rope training that they would climb silk sheets.
Yeah, well, that's going to work your grip. You have to have a good grip to climb silk sheets.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the idea that you just want to work the largest diameter, that's not the entire story, because what you've got is when you work a thick bar, I like 2-inch bars. I've got a bunch of 2-inch diameter things. But at 2 inches, what you have is your grip is going through a range of motion that is zero. You're not moving your grip. It's a static hold when you're doing that item. You're using a thick grip dumbbell, a thick grip barbell, whatever it is. So to get those other ranges, you need to go with different thicknesses. And, I've got all kinds of different thickness items, from my stone padlocks to dumbbells to barbells, shot loading equipment, kettlebells, and my variety of Indian clubs and gata. So, my thickest is probably, I've actually got 125-pound pair of stone padlocks out there, which are massive. But because they're stone, as they get bigger, we put thicker diameter handles on them. Mm-hmm. And while they're not perfectly round, because they are hand cut and so on and so forth, I'd say they're 2 3/4 diameter, which for a guy my size is pretty big. Only 5'3". So I found personally that when I got to – I had a dumbbell that I actually gave away. A buddy of mine made an Olympic plate-loading dumbbell out of solid aircraft aluminum with a 3 1/4-inch diameter. And it was so big that I ended up with tendonitis at the thumb joint because I was hyperextending that thumb. I gave it away to this kid that I was training, who was a 7-foot-tall professional wrestler. He loved it. I can finally do something that feels good. But, his hands were like catcher's mitts. So what kind of thick bar training do you do, Eric?
Mainly 2 3-inch. And I don't just do those. I mean, I think the thick bars are probably one of the best you could do. But I do a lot of stuff with towels where I stick them in water and wring them out and keep reversing and going back and forth. But one thing I use a lot, especially during sets, is I use a softball. I sit there and just grip it, try to put my fingers right through it. That's my – and I've got a grip machine. I've got the old style Perry Raider. And I think they still got a ton of validity. If you know how to use a grip machine properly, you can do some pretty amazing things with your fingers, too, with it. I do it – I don't do it just standing in front of it and pulling it up. I'll put it between my legs and do, like, one hand at a time. I also got – I got a lot of stuff from Iron Mine that he doesn't even make anymore. I've got Titan's Telegraph.
Right. Yeah, that's a great.
It's an incredible piece of equipment. I'll put that right on a picnic table and sit down or stand up, and you can do all your fingers. You can do one finger at a time. But I still think the best bang for the buck out of everything, I still think that thick bar training is the way to go. You can do so much with it. You can vary, obviously what weight ranges you want to run with them. I just like the feel. I like the feel of trying to press my fingers through something that doesn't revolve. I mean, you don't have a nice bar like a York or an Aliko where it's all set up. You go to curl it, or you go to do seated wrist curls, whether or not this thing literally, if you're doing them correctly, is going to feel like it's going to break your wrists right off you. I'd much rather do stuff like that. Obviously, you got to err on the side of caution with it because you can pull ligaments or tear them. You know, you can mess your tendons up too. Because when you have it doesn't revolve. I mean, it's basically like a stationary piece of equipment that just it's going to be you and inertia that's going to move it pretty much. So you got to be very careful with that. But I think for delivery, you know, the rice, the wringing of the towel out, the softballs, all that stuff, I just do that for variation. But if it comes down to an exercise I'm going to do strictly for everything, it's going to all be thick bar, period. Nothing else. I mean, 2 and 3 inch bar will build anything on you better than anything you've got. Standard bar is fine. Curling bars are fine, all that stuff. But when I grab something, I want to make sure I've got like the meat of it. And I don't get that with a, you know, with a 1 inch bar. That's all, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. Now, what you're talking about is a non-rotating thick bar, and there are also rotating thick bars.
Yep.
And you've got two different things going there. Your non-rotating thick bar, you're going to have a completely different grip going on, and you're going to have a lot of wrist in there too. Now, yep. If you're going to be working on your quick lifts, your snatches, your cleans, things like that, there is a technique to using a non-rotating thick bar, and you essentially, when you turn it, you have to loosen your grip a little bit. So essentially what you're doing is you're throwing it in the air and catching it without actually getting it out of your hands. Mm-hmm. But for the guys who really want to work that thick grip, specifically with the Olympic lifts, I highly recommend a rotating thick bar or rotating thick dumbbells. I've got – for years, and I'm picking up another, I'm getting them delivered today or tomorrow, more of those limited edition brass stick handles that I do. They're 2 inch, and it's meant for doing rotating thick handle dumbbell work. If you're going to really work one hand dumbbell snatches to get that proper technique with a thick bar, you probably actually want to use something that rotates. You've got a lot of forces at work there. Now, the old guys, they use shot-loaded non-rotating. And have you ever done that, Eric?
No.
Yeah.
No, not the shot rotating.
Yeah, the non-rotating but shot loaded is what the old Milo equipment was. And when you and I have talked about like Jeff Bankin's custom dumbbell that we did for him. That's a non-rotating shot loaded dumbbell. What you've got there is at the top of the clean or the snatch, when you need to rotate it, you want to make sure to do that when the shot is essentially suspended midair inside the globe. But if you're doing more, I guess you'd call it bodybuilding type moves, things like curls, reverse curls, and even slower cleans, the shot is going to bring an entirely different dimension to your grip training and forearm and wrist work because it shifts around. You've got guys who talk about making using water in things. Have you ever done any keg lifting, Eric?
Yeah. I've got them, and they're water and sand in them. They shift all over.
Yeah, and the grip work involved with a shifting object, that's super sweet. You know, and well, didn't you just write a course for sandbag work?
Well, we're in the middle of doing stuff, but nothing out yet. I mean, that's coming next year.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is with all this stuff is you can, there's multiple things to do with this. I mean, you know, we're talking just fingers, but obviously the whole body's getting affected by it, because if you're lifting kegs and you're pressing kegs, obviously it's a full body at that point. Your grip's going to give out first. There's no doubt about it with that stuff. But, you know, as we were talking in the beginning today, and we were talking about fingers, wrists, and forearms, everything you're doing with any kind of finger work is affecting, well, since we're only on the lower end of the arm, Tay, it's still affecting the whole arm. I mean, right. everything is getting into the party, so to speak. You know, it's just like one can't work without the other. But if you want to be successful, especially if you want to really talk about some major finger work, which I can get into right now, is this. Go out and just grab a 60-pound rock. Go out and weigh a rock and dig your fingers into it and try to hold it for as long as you can. And then do maybe 5 curls with it, hold it again, 5 curls, dump it. Your fingers and arms will feel like, you know, they just got beat by a sledgehammer, basically. And these are all, you know, these are all good basic, you know, think about it. How much does it cost for a rock? Nothing. You can find a rock anywhere. Go out in the woods. Take a trip out in the country. I guarantee you'll find 100 rocks on the side of the road. How much does it cost for a bag of rice? You know, you can get that at any wholesale place that sells to restaurants. You can go to anywhere. We've got them locally here. Go down to I'm not giving them anything, but you can go to any home center or hardware store. You get the big plastic buckets they use. Usually you'll see construction guys use them for any type of masonry work, anything like that. So, I mean, the max you might have – go get a used keg. Most places you go to anywhere, they'll give them away to you. You just can't ever bring them back. Between that, the bucket, the stone, and the rice, maybe you got $20 into the whole show.
Well, and then you've got, like, wrist rollers.
Absolutely. But I'm saying from a point where if you don't have a lot of money, all right, if you don't have a lot to spend, you could take those 3-4 things there. You could have the strongest hands wherever you live. It's just what you want to put into it. How much do you want to, you know, work into it? Yes, you can buy non-revolving. We can get shot loaded. We can get wrist rollers. We can get all that stuff. But the bottom line is, I mean, you could do finger push-ups.
Yeah.
And have you could have, your fingers would be like darts if you hit somebody, you know, poked them. So, yeah, so let's talk about wrist rollers. I mean, wrist rollers are another old school I love them. They're hard line. I mean, but once again, you know, it's another piece that goes with everything else. So, let's get into some wrist rolling.
My favorite wrist roller as a kid, and I don't know where I found out about a wrist roller first. I have no idea.
Yep.
I quite literally made one out of a tree branch when I was a kid with a shoelace.
Yep.
And, I took one of my dad's drills. I drilled a hole through this chunk of tree branch with the bark still on it.
Yep.
Put an old shoelace in there.
Yep.
And started doing wrist roller work. I wish I still had that wrist roller. That was awesome. And, you know, maybe there's some romance about this thing that I made when I was a kid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep.
You know, I started doing wrist roller work when I was 10, 11 years old, because I was doing that silly carnival thing, that Jacob's Ladder deal. It's
mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get my grip stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So in my kid mind, I thought, okay, well, you've got wooden rungs on a rope ladder that twirls. What's like a wooden rung? Oh, a tree branch. Okay, so I'll do stuff with that. You know, I just, customer sent me a DVD on iron palm work in Kung Fu. And it's the most exhaustive study of iron palm work I've ever seen. It is just fantastic. I learned more on wrist rollers in that than I've learned in years. And it wasn't even with a wrist roller. It was with a stick. The guy's just using a stick and training with it and gripping it and twisting it. And he would take little tiny rods of bamboo, tie them together into a like a 2-inch diameter wad of bamboo rods, twist those, which I had done. I had not done them like this guy did, but you saw his forearms and the wrist size and everything, and his arms were just not just they weren't even swollen up when he was doing this. It was like they were just cables. And you see something like that, and a guy's training with it. Literally, he was training with a dowel rod and crushing it and twisting it. And he had a bunch of different motions that he went through. But, it, you know, the average guy, if or girl, you know, did 2 minutes of work that they came up with a piece of dowel rod like this guy was using on his wrists and forearms is incredible. Now, the thing that you have to that really struck me though was the flexibility of his wrists and forearms and fingers. If you're really wanting to get into hand strength, you need to start right with your fingers and move all the way up to your elbows. And you need to start finding stretches for your hands. And one of the things that I got into pretty heavily when I moved into the location that Atomic Athletics at right now is ways of warming up my forearms, because when I train out in the warehouse, it's unheated. So, you know, in Northwest Ohio in the winter, you know, if it's 10 below outside, you know, it's it might be zero in the warehouse. So it's warmer than outdoors, but not by a lot. So how do you warm up those forearms and get them flexible enough to do things like Olympic lifting and, you know, even hitting a heavy bag or something like that? For me, the first thing that I would do before doing any grip work is, and this might sound weird, but wash your hands and do the dishes and use steaming hot water. That's going to get the blood flowing in your hands. And this is whether or not you're training outside or not. That gets your hands going. And then you start doing flexibility exercises for your fingers, wrists, and forearms. And then you bust into something like the rice or a wrist roller or Indian clubs. Indian clubs are tremendous for the forearms, grip, and wrists. But don't give short shrift to those little light Indian clubs. There's an end of Indian club work that they call fancy Indian club work, where guys start doing – it's more finger and hand manipulation stuff, where you're using, you know, one-pound Indian clubs. And really getting all these different twirls and moves with the fingers and hands. That's going to warm up those hands for and forearms for the whole rest of your workout. And it's going to improve whatever lifts you're doing if your hands, wrists, and forearms are actually warmed up. It's really fantastic stuff.
Well, I usually warm them up, but I usually use a softball to warm them up. That's what I do. I take that thing and I literally roll it in between my hands. Keep gripping it, squeezing it, rolling it. The hands heat because you got that leather against it, and it's causing a lot of friction in the hands, especially when you're using both of them back and forth, back and forth. Then I'll take whatever I'm doing, and I'll just start with a lightweight and, you know, pump some volume right into the hands and fingers, wrists, forearms. And one of the things I like to do is I'll take the Buffalo bar, which is a cambered bar for squatting, put it right in the power rack, take that thing and load it with like 405 on it. You want to learn how to really build some wrists, keep trying to roll that thing back and forth on the long rods in the rack. You'll feel like it's going to break your arms right off you. And that's one of the things I do. I don't tell many people that, but sometimes just try to move a bar. When you think about when you got to squat and you got to take that bar and maybe it's off a little bit and you got to roll it either forward or backward. If you've got a bar like that with the camber, it's got no knurling on it at all. So it's pretty much a dead bar when it's laying on the rods like that. Go ahead and try to take that thing. And I mean, just try to roll it with your hands back and forth. You'll get resistance like you've never felt before. So that's one of a feeder I use, too. I like doing that. It just depends on the day and what I want to do. I'm a big guy with bricks. I love either simulating boxing with bricks, you know, and that'd be the ones that, you know, they'd be a regular brick. Everybody's seen them before.
A regular 4-inch brick, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But the thickness is big, or I'll take and stack a bunch of them together, like a bookend, my hand will be on each end, and I try to lift those up and hold, because if you can't squeeze them, they're all going to drop right down from the center. I also like
That's the old Herman Garner
Absolutely.
Move. Yeah.
John Brookfield was a big guy with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I like to do is I like to stack them. You know, and then just hang the edge off a picnic table, put the palm right under the first one on the bottom, try to grab your thumb up on whatever you could stack 1, 2, 3, whatever like that, and try to squeeze it like that and pick it up. I defy anybody to tell me that thing's not working everything. I mean, you can look at your forearm when you're doing it. It looks like the veins are going to pop out of my arm when I'm going to do that. Once again, be very careful. That's all tendons in that wrist you're messing around with, plus your thumb. You know, you don't want to dislocate your thumb or pull a tendon there either. But these are exercises that they work. You know, obviously, it's like anything. You want to vary stuff in your routine. But like I'll go back and hit it again when we talked about thick bar. If I had one thing I had to do forever, it would be thick bar training, because I just think it hits, you know, it's like the notes to a song. It's like you get multiple notes with it, you know, and if you're getting every area you want to hit right to the elbow, and you're getting bicep too. I mean, the whole arm is affected one way or the other, but if you're looking for specificity there, I don't think you can lose on thick bar training, period. All the other stuff has got multiple merit. And it's like anything. You get tired of doing them, all right, you do a little bit of keg lifting for a while. Or we do the sand. Or we do the shot loaded stuff like Roger sells. Great. But you have a multitude of things you can do. But my whole fascination with physical culture is this. And I think this is where we kind of get into a problem. We have a tendency to like to float too much. And I think to get good at anything, I'm a big believer in doing something for quite a while. Because if I'm going from thick bar to a grip machine to a wrist roller to rice in a bucket to towel, wringing it out, blah, 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 I might get all right I mean, obviously my hands, everything is going to be strong as can be, but I'd much rather give it a chance and say, can I take a 3-inch bar, standing reverse curl, cleaning it off the ground, and say, do I got enough grip strength to do 150 pounds with that for, say, 5 reps? To me, that's where the real triumph is. Now, if I can only do, say, 70 with that, and I can lift the keg and I can do everything else, I guess some people would say, well, it's all measurable. You're great or whatever. It doesn't really – But I'd rather – look, it'd be the difference between taking a calf like Milo and maybe lifting it an inch because you're doing all these other farm chores, okay? I'd much rather take that thing and jack it over my head. Then I know I've done something of substance, and this is going to transfer to all the other things I want to do with grip. You agree with that, Roger?
Oh, yeah. What we haven't hit here, and this is one of the things that actually kind of drives me nuts, is you'll get guys who decide, okay, I'm going to become a grip specialist. I love doing this grip stuff. And then they don't do things like, what's more grip-oriented than, say, heavy deadlifting?
Absolutely.
There's picking up a heavy weight is grip training.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are all of these little things to do. And like with that 72 Consummate Arts book that I talked about, the Shaolin monks, they've got one art in there called the pot lifting arts. And that is wrist roller work. So they'll spend 2 to 3 years concentrating just on every variation of wrist roller training that they can do for 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
And it's not just lifting a little tiny weight out front at arm's length with your elbows locked. And by the way, doing it with your elbows bent at 90 degrees versus locked straight out, two completely different exercises. But they'll do whole body work where they're lifting really heavy weights with their wrist roller work. You think of the variations that are possible with a wrist roller, and you decide to spend an hour a day for 2 years on wrist rollers, I hope you're going to come up with a number of variations across an entire spectrum on wrist rollers. You're going to be a wrist roller expert.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe
you're a deadlift expert. There are people who are deadlift experts out there. Awesome. That's great. And is a guy who can deadlift 700 pounds going to have a pretty good grip?
Sure.
I think so. Now, is he going to have a different grip than a guy who decides, I'm going to get a couple of different thick bars, and I'm only going to train with thick bars for 6 months? Man, my guess is he's going to have a pretty outstanding grip at the end of that 6 months, and he's going to come up with all kinds of interesting things to do with it once he's decided, I'm going to limit myself to doing this.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is, you got to look at the recovery of the fingers. Obviously, the rice work is really nice to do. I'll go back in and talk about, throwing a big bath towel into the water and just gently start wringing it out. That really will bring your hands back. But one thing is, I think, is like the ultimate in finger strength when you know you've really hit the mountain. Go out and find some old school, big, thick barbell plates, 25, 35, 45. You can start pulling a 45 and stand up right by the hub.
Yeah.
You got a serious grip there. And another thing, in the world of manliness in society, I usually rate a male by the grip of their handshake. And I don't meet too many people with a good, strong handshake nowadays. They seem very soft at times. And I don't sit and try to break somebody's fingers,
no,
obviously.
When I say, you know
it's a measure of a man. It's a very big measure when you meet, you know, someone, you grip their hand and you look them in the eyes, and that tells a lot about you right there. So I'm a big believer in that when you first meet somebody, you know, how they conduct themselves like that.
Yeah, a good, firm handshake that's solid.
Yep.
Like iron. That's great. Not a, I just crushed somebody's hand because they weren't ready for it.
Exactly.
That's just being a jerk.
Yep.
But that firm handshake where it's a firm, muscular, powerful grip, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
That's a line of
respect right there.
It says more than words.
Right.
I could go on forever and ever on that.
that's the whole thing. I mean, the you know, we've talked about this on previous shows. When you grab a bar, and this is another thing I want to hit upon before I hit this thing. The hands, the fingers, the wrists, they're always being tested, all right? Roger hit right on the beam on the anvil with deadlift strength. You've got to have quite a grip to do that. But think about this.
If you can't hold it, you're not going to pick it up.
Right, but the whole thing is it's always being tested. Do a back mm-hmm. squat. Your hands are vital, your fingers. Think about when you're overhead. What's going to usually fail on you? Your wrists. Your wrists start buckling or you can't hold it because your hands aren't strong enough. You and I both know that barbell is not going over your head. I don't even care if you try to jerk it, if you try to push press it. You've got to be able to have something that's going to support that weight when it's locked out over your head. So that's another big thing. The whole thing with this stuff is it's, you know, over the years you're going to gain phenomenal hand, wrist, forearm, obviously upper arm power. I mean, this is, if you know how to train, it's going to be a byproduct. Now, are you going to be as strong as possibly a person that's designating themselves to just being a grip guy? No. But outside in the real world, you're going to still have what the tools you need to take care of yourself. But I think to get to these next levels, you know, you want to lift stones, you want to lift kegs, you want to throw a log up over your head. This type of training is so vital to your success. And, I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, there's just so much to fingers, hands, wrist, forearms, your joints. Obviously, we didn't really hit the elbow joint, but, you know, how are you going to get big joints like that? Well, you're going to do partials. You're going to get in a rack, and you're going to lift. See, what I like to do, and I'm sure you've done them, you know, I'll set the pins at, say, middle of eye height, maybe another 4 inches, and I'll come off and obviously try to push right through, you know, the other set of rods. And you can make the argument, well, that's shoulders, all that. No, it is, all right? But we're training as a unit here. We don't train separate body parts. We don't do that stuff, okay? But what I'm saying is every time you're taking and pressing your hands hard against something, hold it. Tell me you're not feeling it going from your fingertips right to your shoulder blades, to your upper back, to your rhomboids, to your traps. We hit all this stuff. Your neck. Have you ever had it when you do stuff like that? The next day your eyeballs will hurt.
The muscle attachment points in the back of your head.
Absolutely.
You know, on the top of your skull, they hurt.
Yep.
And you're like, wow. You know, last week I talked about how I did a whole workout with nothing but a 105-pound antique millstone and a pair of 15-pound Persian meals, right?
Right.
Well, one of the things that I did was curls with my hands on either side of that millstone. It was really a nice thickness. It's just under 4 inches. So everything that I did, I was picking up this millstone with my hands on either side of it. And, you know, even a static hold there was a lot of forearm in that training that day. My forearms were sore the next day. I just beat the hell out of them. It's, you know, like I said, if you can't grip it, you can't lift it.
Nope.
It's that basic. So,
well, I was, without a doubt. And I would say if someone said, all right, what are you guys thinking? I mean, I'd be like, if I had to go down a list, you know, 2-inch, 3-inch thick bar, you know, there's nothing wrong with the old standard stuff where you're doing a seated wrist curl, okay? I mean, that's a nasty, nasty movement. Now, if you want to get really into it, you can do the reverse curl seated like that too. You're not going to use as much weight. I do that on occasion, but I like to just do wrists up, stand right up, and do the reverse curl standing because I like to hit, you know, the forearm super hard and everything else like that. Obviously, that'd be probably my 1-2 punch. But then, you know, we've got grip machines, which are incredible. We've got a wrist roller, which is incredible. We've got kegs. We've got bricks. We've got, I mean, you go on and on and on with everything,
well,
right?
You know, and you were talking about like those two basic wrist curl ideas. If you look back at the historical stuff, both Larry Scott and Bill Pearl include both of those movements in their little forearm booklets.
Yeah.
This is, you know, two of the biggest arm guys in history.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing, standard size straight bars, I believe, in their booklets, doing wrist curls. And so do they work? Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing we've been talking here forever since this show started is heavy and basic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How much more basic is it sitting down and doing a wrist curl or a reverse wrist curl? I mean, if you've got, you know, like Roger said, he sells the stuff that revolves. So that's fine if that's what you want. And some people need that, okay? But my whole thing is this. I don't have bars that revolve when it comes to a 2 or 3 inch bar, nor the dumbbells I use. Like, for instance, the other night, I did a massive arm routine. I haven't done anything that's gone after arms probably in 10 years like that. You know, I do arm work mainly because I like to do it, but it just comes on with that other heavy stuff I'm doing for that night. But now, ever since the injury I've had too, now I've gotten into the arm work more. But like just specifically, you know, it was all straight standing up barbell curls with a 2 and 3 inch bar. Obviously, the weight was more limited than what I could use with a standard bar. I don't care about that because it's working the muscle belly so hard. You're getting that thickness you're not going to get with a standard bar. And screw the weight. The weight is more than heavy what I'm using, believe me. But then, like with the triceps, you know, the old style stuff, Raj, going on my 4x4 dip bars, which right there, to grip those things alone, just think what that's doing. I mean, those fingers right up to my eyeballs are getting taxed because just to hold my body weight on that, all I did was a standard, body was straight, erect, and go down and come up, strictly for triceps. But I did, one of the things I love to do after that, and it's a pretty nasty movement, take a 2-inch dumbbell handle, load it up, it looks like a truck axle the way I do it, it's so heavy. You got to clean it, you straddle it, clean it right up in the air. It's got to go behind your head. You got to lock your body and you press your hands are under basically under the first set of plates and take a deep breath and push that up and lock it up right over your head. Now, that's behind you. I mean, if you know anything about stability and abdominal strength, if you don't have that and you're messing around like a 150-pound dumbbell, that'll take your ass backwards and break your neck off you. So that was some of the stuff I was doing Sunday night. And I can tell you, not only my arms are sore, but they look like somebody dumped helium in them. And they don't look like some puffed up bodybuilder. It's like when you look at the arms, man, everything kind of follows suit from the top of the trap right down. So those are some of the things I want to convey that, you know, this thing we did today, The ability to build big, strong, powerful arms, you know, people always be, well, why do you do your arms? I got news for you. Would that have stopped that injury? That might have. And I'm a big believer now, without being ridiculous and overtraining your arms, because they are small muscles. They're involved in everything we do. If you do them right with these bars and these rollers and all that, you could have the most massive, like Roger was saying, cabled, structured. I mean, the arms just look like cannons that are attached. You know, like my buddy used to say, this old lifter, he was a great guy, Craig. He was always like, you got the coconut friggin' shoulders, you know, and you got the arms to go with it. And he used to always talk about that. He was an old school guy, and he was right. There's certain things you can train and train smart, which is not only going to enhance your look, but it's going to make your lifting that much better and stronger.
But and it's going to make your whole life actually better.
Yeah.
Because, and this is what I try to point out to people all the time, is your fitness level impacts your entire life.
Yep.
Down to very basic decisions. And, it, you know, just here's something that, you know, I know you and I have had to deal with before. Do you all of a sudden have to get all kinds of wheelie carts and,
yep.
You know, it becomes a whole day project to get some, you know, bundles of shingles or
sure.
bags of concrete off the back of a pickup truck and to the place where you need to use them.
Yep.
Well, you know, and if you can't grip it, you're not going to lift it.
There you go, man. That's right on. And, you know, another thing, too, we didn't really hit on, and we can hit next week when we talk about triceps and biceps. I dare anybody out there to tell me they don't want to have big arms. Come on, will you? If you look at, I'm not comparing us to, like, bodybuilders and stuff like that.
No.
But you look at these people, and they're all arms and pecs. You go from the waist down, they got chicken legs and nothing else, okay? So we both know if someone's looking at you, they're going to be like, I can't believe how big your arms are. Well, that's all well and good, but see, I like the symmetrical look where, all right, there might be always something, one feature on you that's going to stick out, but when you're a big, trained, strong, muscular monster, all right, it's okay. I mean, if somebody says your arms are huge, I mean, I'm going to be like, thanks a lot, you know, because let's face it, besides seeing your face, okay, and your head, I mean, usually your arms, I believe, are the next thing people are looking at. So it's like, you know, I think it's a great thing. I would tell anybody, and I don't care if, you know, they say, well, you don't need to train your arms. That's all bullshit. It is. You should train your arms.
Yeah.
You should have big, strong, massive arms that lend themselves right down to your fingertips. Like, I always like, you know, you look at your fingers, man, big, thick, and strong. You know, you look at all the guys that do manual labor, the hard hat guys. I love the gals back then in the 30s and 40s. You know, this was all a byproduct. These guys weren't out saying, oh, I want to get big fingers. Pick up 100 bags of concrete every day for the rest of your life. What do you think you're going to look like, okay?
The guys that I saw when I was a kid, because my yep. grandpa owned a little brick company, right?
Yep.
We're all bricklayers.
Yeah.
These guys.
Huge.
Their hands and
huge.
Forearms
yep.
were
yep.
Like catcher's mitts. And,
absolutely, man.
You know, you see one of those guys in the bar.
Yep.
Odds are, people aren't picking a fight with that guy.
No. Because if they ever hit you or grabbed you, they disable you right away. I mean, there's too much power there. You know, a friend of mine's a butcher, and he's probably in his 60s now, you know, and he still does the cutting and all that stuff. And as we call him, ham hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this guy, you know, and he's done farming his whole life. I mean, this guy's got some serious juice in his whole body. I mean, you know, why walk around being weak?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Exactly.
Be strong. Well, look, we're going to get into – maybe we'll hit some more. I don't think there's any way we can't next week. But next week we're going to be talking about from the neck on down. We'll do part three, and we're going to do buys and tries, which are going to be a lot of fun because I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of thick bar. Obviously, I hit upon a couple things I did Sunday night, which, boy, I'll tell you, you know, you look at a guy like Marvin Eder, and I know that, you know, he used the dip for everything. And he, this guy could put anything over his head. I mean, you know, you're a guy that's 190, 200, and, you know, you can dip 400 pounds of weight in your body weight. That's a pretty serious-ass guy. So we're going to get into this next week. We really like this series. And, you know, obviously we're going to hit everything else. After the arms, we're going to start. Maybe we'll restart even at the upper back, middle of the back, and we'll go right down to your butt cheeks, and then we're going to go from there right down to your toes. So Roger and I are going to be hitting a lot of areas I feel that nobody talks about anymore. I don't hear people talking about calf work. I don't hear people talking about, you know, like just building around the knees. And I know we're going to get into some more iron boot stuff because we do know what that can do with kneecaps. Same way with wrists and ankles and toes and, you know, things like that. We're going to really get into some pretty novel stuff here that, like I said.
Foot strength.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Absolutely.
I can't wait. But
yeah, and it's like we're going to – I would think we're going to do at least probably four more shows before we complete this series. And I think everybody's going to really dig what's going on because this was a great show. I tried to let Roger carry more of the show today because I'm saving my voice. So that's why when he's asking me questions, being quiet because I've got another seven shows to do this week. So I was letting him just kind of carry it a little bit. But at some point, you know, I wanted to come in and just develop more story with it too. So if you thought that I had fallen asleep, I wasn't asleep. Believe me, I was just listening.
Now, guys, I think Eric told me before this that you've got another four interviews that you're doing today.
I got three more after you. I've got two tomorrow. I've got two Thursday. I've got one Friday. I got one Saturday. We're really stretched this week, but not complaining. Love it. The show is doing monster rating, and you know we're going to get better and better. And I told Eric Gutman, who was on last night, I'm getting stuff where they're calling names out now. You, Eric, Steve Helmicki's getting a lot of crack, man, for sure. Brooks Kubik, obviously. It's just the core guys I got right now are excellent, and people are really tuning into what's you know, I mean, I've got a ton of shows lined up that I haven't put up yet. I mean, wait till you hear just some of the stuff that went on. It's like, you know, some people have asked for different things, and we're giving them. We're giving them what they want, and that's really important. And, you know, we want you all, you know, Roger and I will give our information out in a minute, but we've said this before. Whether you like us or not, you know, don't be afraid to drop a line. We're not we got thick skin.
I talk to people every day on the phone. I am on the phone. Like yesterday, for several hours, I was not on the phone. Why? Eric, this is awesome, but my forearms are trash today because I waxed over 200 wooden Tai Chi balls yesterday.
Well, that'll do it. That's for sure. But once again, see, it's the other things at work too. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
It's not – you don't have to go out and do a wrist roller. When you do something like that, you're using everything. You're building strength and muscle from a whole nother way. So, you know, this is the beauty of what we do. And I'll say this a million times. The creativity that we can have with this stuff is – you'll never reach where you got to be in your lifetime. It's just – it's all there. So – Well, look, Raj, why don't you give everybody your information, and I'll do mine, and we'll say goodbye for today, and we'll be ready next week to pick it all back up.
Sounds good. Okay, my name is Roger LaPointe. You can find me at Atomic Athletic. That's AtomicAthletic.com. And I've got the blog in the upper right. It just says, try to get this, B-L-O-G. Blog. It's very creative. Yeah. And then on the lower left, you've got my free email newsletter, the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin, which I've been doing for over 15 years now. And about 90% of the articles are written by me. It's not just something that I farm out. I actually do it. And it's not just a bunch of malarkey. I would say 70 to 80% of the newsletters are just training information. And the rest is, hey, we have something new. Hey, we're going to be at a particular location, that kind of thing. But really, I concentrate on the training information, and then I put that stuff in as little extra at the bottom. So, it's not like a lot of those email spam things that you get from a lot of companies where it's just, hey, we've got a sale going on. Okay, well, I could have gone to your website for that. I'd actually like to read something instead of having to delete garbage filling up my email account. And we've all been there. So once again, atomicathletic.com.
Okay. So this is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorella Barbell Company here in upstate New York, www.fiorellabarbellco.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on, Twitter at Fiorello Eric, at Facebook, it's Fiorello Barbell, and now we have a brand new page out in Facebook called Motivation and Muscle. Looks wicked sharp. Both websites are brand new. Check them out. We have a separate one for Motivation and Muscle that's basically branched off on its own. Looks excellent. Want to thank Eric Relou for both of those. We're working on the weight loss one now. That'll be up and Adam before the end of the year. You can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And as I'm going to say from now on, we are the stewards of strength. We are the gatekeepers. If you know what a steward is, if you don't, go look it up. You'll understand what I'm talking about. We're the guys. We are the legion. We're the ones holding the swords. Come join us. So if you got anything that's on your mind, any shows that you'd want Roger and I to do, something you're interested in, drop us a line. You got both of our email addresses. We will try to accommodate you for sure. So for Raj, thanks for being on another great show as usual.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. I know you are. I'm glad to have you here. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you for listening to today's show. We'll be back with you next Tuesday at the same time, so stay tuned.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.